Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
Interesting, because when Jesus is talking about this scripture verse, he's actually talking about, disciples. This is one of the last things that he says to his disciples, because in between the time, you understand when you're about ready to die, what you share is probably some of the most important things that you're going to share. And so in context, his audience, when he shares this to his disciples, it's between the Last Supper and when Jesus was arrested. So he's literally telling them, abide in me. So this is the point where he's getting ready for the crucifixion. And before he's arrested, he's telling this his last sermon, if it were, to his disciples. And so the word abide in Webster's dictionary, this is awesome. It says to wait, to endure, to live. And I love this, to remain and to be steadfast. I love that word, steadfast. And some translations means to stick, to stay connected, to abide, to hold on. That's awesome too, to hold on. And so abide with me, and Jesus says, I will abide in you. If you abide in him, he will abide in you. So abiding, what we take from this verse is a decision that we have to make. It's not something, even though he does prune, he's not gonna just sit there and cut your branch off. It's a decision that we make. Are we all clear on this? And so it's interesting, because when he says abide in me, he's telling us and the disciples, abide in who he is, abide in us. If I do the abiding, then he will do the building and the growing. Let me say that again. If we do the abiding, he will do the building and the growing. So I want you to understand this. There's three characters that they're talking about in this verse. One, there is the vine dresser, which if we hear this, it says this. It says, John 15:1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Another word for vine dresser is translated the gardener. And so the vine dresser is a person who takes care of the vine, and that's what they're talking about, the vine and the branches. He is the caretaker of the vine. And so the Father, what he does is look over the vine. He inspects, waters, nurtures, prunes. He does this. He knows how to care for the vine and the branches. In this illustration, the vine itself is Jesus. So the vine dresser, the Lord, and then Jesus is the vine. He is the source of our life. He is the source. And through what he did on the cross and who he is, he made a way for us to connect with the Lord. And then it says that we are the branches, that God compares us to something almost fragile. I'm not saying that you are fragile. I'm saying that we are delicate. Is that making sense? I'm not saying that you just fall apart. I'm just saying that he treats us delicately. And so here's the thing I want us to look at. One is being connected. And so if we are branch, that means we are being connected. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will only bear fruit when you are what? Connected. You're connected. You produce, now let's check this out. You produce what you're connected to. Anybody have kids and all of a sudden there's certain kids that you don't want your kids to hang out with, because every time they hang out with those kids, they come back and they have a little bit of a more attitude with those kids, right? Because you become sometimes who you hang out with. You become those people. And my mentor a long time ago said two things. Show me, if you want to know where you're going to be in a few years, show me the books you read and the friends you have. And another youth pastor told me many years ago, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Isn't that true? Because what you're connected with and what's important to you, it will essentially define, will show you what your fruit is, what you're being connected to in your life. And it might be your faith, it might be. But we produce fruit when we are connected. You produce what you're connected to. Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So he's saying we need to abide in him. We need to remain and we need to spend time with him to find our identity. Now check this out. One of the most common things I get from people all the time, especially when I was a youth pastor for 8 years, and I thought, people ask me all the time, what's the difference between being a youth pastor and a church planter pastor? You know my answer is? Really nothing. I mean, of course you gotta start a church to do this stuff, but when I'm dealing with people, do you wanna know? We're just older teenagers sometimes. Or is this true? We still deal with, you know, it looks differently. Listen, if you had struggled with comparing yourself to somebody else in high school and you haven't beat it yet, your comparison doesn't change. It's just what you compare does. It used to be the clothes you wear or whatever assignments, and now it's the house and the boat. You know what I'm saying? So certain things don't change. And so what happens is what you're connected to not only produces your fruit, which you're connected to, but also establishes your identity. You find out what you are when you're connected most with something. For instance, one of the things I tell this church a lot is this: if you want to know who you are and what you're created to be, you got to know who the Creator is, because a person who knows who you are more is the person who created you to be. And so in order to know who you're created to be, get to know the Creator, because your identity is not in what you do, but who you are. Amen? And I think so many times people are trying to figure out, well, what am I called to do? What am I called to do? What am I called to do? If we could just spend more time saying, God, it's not about what am I called to do, it's who am I called to become. Because I can tell you this, you can have a Billy Graham calling and you can be the greatest evangelist in the world, but if your character doesn't match up with your calling, you will only go as far as your character will allow you to go. And so it's becoming who you are. Are you a person who is passionate? Are you a person who is honest? Are you a person who is loving, who cares for your family? Are you a person? And so are you reliable? Are you these things? And so it's who is your identity. It's interesting because our identity comes from what we're connected to, the more you abide. For instance, for the moms out there, this abiding thing, just like everybody else, is hard because here as moms, you have stress. You think about your kids. You have the stress of your kids, everything good at school. You have their health. You have loads of laundry, right? Starts from baby stage all along. Some moms, all they feel like they're doing is laundry all day long. Like it never ends. It's like Mount Everest of laundry all day. And then my wife comes home and there's like kids put their laundry in the ground. It's like there's not just one pile. There's like 100 little piles of laundry everywhere. And then you got homework. The kids come home with homework. And they're like kindergarten, they have homework. How dare they? Right? Don't you think parents have stuff better to do than homework for their kids? And so it's interesting because you have all these things piling up and you want your kids to be safe. And then there's pressure. You look at posts on Facebook or on Instagram of other moms who have figured it out and they post the greatest parts of their day. And I'm like, dude, just post your laundry pile, right? Just post the things that you don't shove in the closet. And so what begins to happen is we have these thoughts and making sure the kids are well fed and making sure they're secure. And we get overwhelmed, all of us, not just wives and moms, but even husbands. You get overwhelmed because you feel like you need to do it all yourself. And what begins to happen is you slowly work yourself away from, you got to do this, you got to drive them here, you got to do this, you got to, you know what I'm saying, work here and some working mom, you got to do this and this, and you come home and then you got to deal with your husband, you got to deal with whatever, and you go through all the stuff, and what begins to slip is your relationship with the Lord is one of the first things that begins to slip. And then you start getting a little bit more irritated and you start getting a little bit more built up, and what happens is, where you were the branch and you were abiding at one point, your identity becomes part of what you need to get done and what you are doing, and not based upon who you are and what God says you are. Is this, you guys hear me on this? And so our strength is no longer in the vine. Our strength is we're trying to do it on our own energy. And all of a sudden, we start wondering why these things, we're feeling almost like burnt out or slow, is because we're not allowing the Lord to fill up our tank. Like I was just telling someone this past week, and I shared this before, it's like when you go on an airplane, the first thing they tell you to do is, before you help anybody else with their oxygen mask, put yours on first. When I was on an airplane with my kids, I thought that was the most selfish thing I've ever heard. I was like, what? And then it dawned on me, you're no good if you're dead, right? How can you help somebody else breathe if you can't breathe yourself? And so if you can put your mask on first and give yourself some life, then you have more life to give. And so when we're connected, when we are abiding with the vine, then we are getting life and nourishment from the vine and not on something else. And so that's being connected. But God is not calling you to be perfect, mom. Here's what I'm telling you. He's calling you to be an abiding mom. I want you to figure this out. You're not called to be perfect. All of us are called to abide. If we do the abiding, he will do the building and growing. Here's what happens, though. My wife bought this plant 2 days ago. This is what we're going to put in the ground today or tomorrow. This plant is, I don't even know what it is. She had a name for it, but I don't know what it is anymore. She probably, it's right there, but Annabelle hydrangea. I didn't even say that right, but that's something. It's going to be a beautiful plant, and she's going to get mad when I do this, but here we go. Boom, one plant off. So here's what happens. When you think about this plant, and I just did this, all of a sudden, it went from abiding, staying connected with the source, because it's not just the source, it's connected to the ground for nourishment. And as soon as I took this away from the vine, and you know what I'm saying, no longer is the gardener pruning this, because it's already pruned, it's already off. No longer is the vine, Jesus, putting stuff into it, because it's no longer connected to the source. When we are no longer connected, there is no life going to it. Now, here's a funny thing. Some people feel like, well, it's still a leaf. It's still whatever. It still is. You're right. And here's the thing about this. Think about this in your own spiritual life. You can be disconnected from the Lord and still go to church. Think about this. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're connected to the vine. There's thousands and thousands of people who go to church all around the world who say they believe, but they're not abiding and trusting and following the Lord. And so you can look like a branch that's abiding. You can hang out with the branches that are abiding. You can even rub up next to the branches that are abiding. Is this making sense? But it doesn't mean that you're part of the family tree. Doesn't mean that you're getting nourishment. And here's the irony. You want to know how? Because if I leave this here for a few days, it's going to start withering and dying because there's no new life going to this branch. Like this branch is now, if you think about it, this branch is slowly dying even as I hold it because there's no source of life going to it. So when God says to us, and Jesus says to us, to abide in him, he's not saying to you, be perfect as I'm perfect. He is literally saying, he says, stay connected to me. Find out what your source and identity is, because you cannot produce this little thing, no matter how beautiful this hydrangea will be and flowers will be. This will never produce a flower because it's not connected to the source. Are you guys hearing me on this? And so what I'm saying is, God's not saying he needs perfect husbands or perfect spouses or perfect moms or perfect dads. He's saying he needs a church, a people that will abide to the source, because the only way we can bring life and give life is life we have. I did this series about 2 years ago called The Nine, which is the nine fruits of the Spirit. I wasn't going to say this, so this is a freebie. So here we go. And I talk about the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, self, and it goes the whole thing, the nine of them. And this is what I said. Every single week I said this, and I want you guys to catch this during the planted series. And you got to produce the fruit. You will see a tree, and if it's producing fruit, and it's a healthy tree, and I want you to catch this, though. You cannot give what you don't have. If a situation needs peace or joy in it, and in your life, you're not being connected and you're not getting joy and peace from the source, it's hard to give what you don't have. You guys hear that? It's hard to give. It's hard to give in a situation. So this is why we need to be connected. This is why we need to be connected in this way. It's interesting because we want the benefits. Check this out. We want the benefits of the vine, but some of us who don't like rules or whatever, we want the benefits of looking good and having flowers, but we don't want to be tied down to the vine. So we want to go do our own thing. And then we wonder why I'm losing my identity. I don't know who I am anymore. And we start going through saying, life comes through Christ, which is not just visiting, which comes through being connected. John 15, 6 through 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's not saying you are nothing. He's not saying that at all. It's all about producing fruit. It's the truth. He's not saying that if you're not in me, you're not nothing. He's saying you cannot produce nothing of the fruits if you're not connected to the source of life. You guys here with me this morning? It's interesting because most of the times when we talk about this, we say, you know what I'm saying? What's going to happen now if you're not connected? Well, think about this. Not being connected or abiding, it will not produce fruit. But if you're connected to Christ, you will bear much fruit. And so as I've heard this sermon many years in my life about abiding in Christ or whatever, it gets to the point of saying, now you're not connected, and now what? Now you're just there. Until a few years ago, this is my favorite part of the sermon today. About a few years ago, I got wind of a thing called grafting. Anybody ever heard of grafting before? And so the last few years I've been thinking about this as I think about this verse, and I've been thinking about how this works. And it's interesting because grafting is essentially this. It's taking a piece of branch, which is called, you guys ready for my science? This is called a scion branch. Is this true? I think I'm right with this. A scion branch is a branch that's been disconnected from the source. And if it's cut right, and if it can be brought back to the tree all over again. It can bring life. Now, check this out. You can literally, apple trees do this, and I'm going to show you a quick video in a second. You can actually take a branch, and they're talking about vines and olive branches, but it also works with our fruit trees. You can take a branch from one tree, one specimen tree, and reattach it to a different tree and grow a new branch called through grafting. Isn't this crazy? So I was at Amit's Apple Orchard this week, and I met some great friends who own Amit's, and their son showed me how to do this. So if you guys can start this video and see this quick video, this is pretty awesome.
What I'm going to try to explain here is it's called a T-graft. And we're going to cut off through the right layer. So there's a couple layers of skin here. We're going to try to cut just enough. Kind of like that. Clean it up a bit. And then what we're going to do, let's see, we'll get a good spot for it. We're going to do what's called a T-cut. So we're going to cut kind of just like that around the edge. And then we're going to go back through, kind of cut it like that, down a ways. We'll try to open it up a bit, just like that. Just get under the right layer of skin, pop it open, put that down. Do the same thing to the other side. Just slightly pop it open, just like that. All right, and then we're gonna take our branch and we're gonna try to slip it in. And usually we'll be grafting a different variety onto a different tree. So just for demonstration purposes here. And now, open this up, open the other side up, and slip that down in there just like that. And then, so that's a T-graft. And then we go back through with our grafting tape and we'll tape that on there. And then say we wanted this to be this variety for next year, we'd let it grow for a year, come back, and we would cut this off, and just this variety would grow off. And that's a T-graft. You just have to make sure the barks are touching on both sides, so when it heals from this open wound, it'll heal and connect the bark onto there.
Are you saying almost every one of your trees you get heavy?
Every single one of these have been grafted, what they call is bench graft. So they do it in the nursery the year before. So I say, you know, we got these at a year old, but really the rootstock was 2 years old. it was bench grafted, then cut off, and then we get it. So the rootstock's 2 years old and the actual tree is a year old. So it's a process. So these, you know, we're saying they're third leaf. It's really their fifth year of growth.
Third leaf for you guys. I mean, third season for you guys, but fifth year for the
rootstock to be growing. So it's a process.
Is anybody else amazed by this? They said, I was talking to Chris and Christopher, that they said on the other side of Amos, they actually have some trees that have 2 to 3 different varieties of apples on one apple tree that's been grafted together. So I went online and I found this guy. Check this out. There's a guy by the name of Paul Bennett, 40-year-old English guy who has a giant apple tree in his backyard. He's been grafting now for many years, and he's trying to get as many different varieties of apples on one tree. And as of right now, he's at 250 different species of apples on one tree. They've actually said that you can actually take even a pear tree, a pear scion that's been healthy, and pair it to an apple tree, and your apple tree will start begin to grow pears on it. Think about this. What was not really part of the family can be brought into a family. What I love about what Christopher was saying in the video was you had to open up a wound to make a way for the branch to come in. Isn't this true? How Jesus' death on a cross had to open up a way for us to become part of the family all over again. It's interesting because, everybody just stand up. Dan and Breen are going to come up here, and we're going to close this off because I want you to understand this. Grafting's been around for 2,000 years. Still being used today, every one of those trees on the Amos apple orchard are actually at one time grafted from another tree. They're not from seeds. They're actually grafted from another tree that God takes us. Here's the part I think is interesting. This leaf, you can already see, it's already starting to wither. You see this? What was once full of life, and I feel like this is what some of us feel like quite a bit. What was once full of life and full of sprouting, most plants actually grow towards the sun. Isn't that crazy? What was once growing towards the sun and growing a life, it's now starting to dwindle because all the nourishment is no longer coming to that. And so when you start thinking about being connected and abiding, many people talk about the vine and branches, and when a branch is cut off, it's over. Now what happens? And I'm here to tell you, here's the good news. Just because you're cut off from the source doesn't mean you can't go back to the source all over again, because Jesus makes a way. If you don't believe me, Romans 11 says this. It says, Romans 11:24 says, did they stumble as to fall beyond recovery? Think about that. Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgressions mean riches to the world, and their loss means riches to the Gentiles, and it goes on to say, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and come. It says in verse 16, if the part of the dough offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been taken off, and you, through the wild olive shoot, have been grafted among those and others, now share in the nourishing sap of the olive root. Do not consider yourself superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root. The root supports you. Holler. Anybody else catch that? It's like bragging that you're a branch. Don't brag that you're a branch. Brag that you're connected to the source of life. Let me repeat that. It says, do not consider yourself superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You then will say, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but those were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to those provided continuing kindness. In this one passage, it talks over and over and over again about us the word grafted back into the family tree. And I love this. We were grafted by grace into God's family tree. Isn't that amazing? Look at this. You were not meant to live this way. God created you for his life, for him. What we're called to do is this. If we abide, he will bring life and nourishment, and he will take care of where we're at this morning.